You can learn about anything in this world if you'll just follow my little trick. Got it? Mm-hmm. All right. Albania. Here, Albania. Or should we say Albania?
Why'd you say it like that?
We learn our facts by associating countries with music. One, two, three. Albania, Albania, you border on the Adriatic. Your land is mostly mountainous, and your chief export is chrome.
TBTL.
I have a beta sequence I've been working on. Would you like to see it?
Get out. Are you gonna get out there? You gonna get out there?
No, you're not a weenie.
I mean, I think hammers did more for Home Depot than Home Depot did for hammers.
Right? I mean, like, how do you even build a Home Depot without the hammer?
Right?
Right?
We have to get drinks. Several drinks. Don't you think? Let's celebrate.
Celebrate drinking.
Okay.
You all dried off, Rudog? Yeah, you gotta be. You got to be dried off, ready to go, in the right frame of mind to do a Thursday afternoon edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
You want showmanship? You got it.
My name's Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
I do it because my brain is bad.
Coming to you from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched up Alabama Hill, Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City. My goodness. More like the Bay Shitty.
Man, it is nasty out there.
We had a beautiful day yesterday. I even took the cover off the barbecue and just was already, I had fully engaged in springtime notions. And then today, just whomp, there it is. I don't think that's how that song goes. But now the weather is lousy again. So we've got the pod dog in here, staying out of the rain, Bay Kitty. Doing her thing, which is to go outside, as I mentioned the other day, get just absolutely soaking wet. She is like an amphibious cat, which I haven't experienced before.
There is something about the soul of a cat.
She likes to get real wet, and then she likes to tramp that in all over the house. We're getting a call, probably from a telemarketer. A lot going on here right at the top of the show, episode 2602 in a collector series, already off to a blazing hot start.
Let the fun begin.
Oh, speaking of inclement weather, good news, people. The world is not coming to an end, even though if you'd looked at your Dark Skies weather app, you might have thought so. There was a glitch in the Matrix that had a lot of people freaking out. So we will calm your fears and let you know what is really going on. Oh, plus, I want to try a new segment today called Random Acts of Audio.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
And this is where we just play some completely and totally unrelated to anything we've been doing audio. I saw a piece of audio on the internet that had no formal or logical home on TBTL, but then I just said, I got to play this for them. And thus, a new segment was born. So we'll do that, plus emails and V-mails. Oh, and I just got a press release, my friends, from an interesting theatrical company, which I may share with you as well here at the top of the show. All of that as soon as we get this young man on the line, the longest-running Cobro of the program, known for his drawings of perch dinners, their grace and their splendor. He's the Hodor of podcasting, and he wants to clarify one thing kind of right here at the top of the show.
I just want to talk. It has nothing to do with mating.
He's Andrew Zoidberg Walsh, and he joins us now from the Wallingford neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Hello, my dude.
Hey, Luke. I have something very important to ask you.
All right.
Can you look over at your little recording device on your end and make sure that it's still rolling?
Are we having recording issues at the studios of Walsh, Walsh, and Doormat?
We're having Andrew issues. And while we have Andrew issues on this show every day, the one thing you can usually depend on me to do is
Shit. Things are hard.
Is to record the dang show. Like, of all the stuff that I do to ruin this show, not recording it has never been on the list. But for some reason, I just looked over near the end of your intro and realized I was still in standby mode. So all of that gold you just spun is it will be lost forever unless you captured it on your end.
I did capture it, and I also have the song All That Gold from A Mall and the Night Visitors.
Oh, man. All roads lead to A Mall and the Night Visitors.
You didn't think this podcast could get off to a hotter start. Let's throw some Giancarlo Minotti light opera up in this. Jesus, there's a lot of parts of this song that aren't all that gold.
I like light opera.
It's a light opera.
Everybody's on their grind, even opera.
Jeez, do they ever say the line? I was in this opera, you think I would know. This was my mom singing about how the wise men were very rich, and she didn't have money to help me with my medical care because of the rollback of the Affordable Care Act. So I was I'm a little lame boy named Amal. And she sings this song right before she steals their gold.
I don't think I remember that you were the star of the show. You were the namesake of Amal and the Night Visitors.
I was Amal.
Wow.
Yes, I was. Yeah, you know, I have to be honest. It was a weird life to be in the spotlight like that just as a kid, to have all of that kind of attention, adulation. It's weird. You're kind of growing up in a bubble, you know. Hey, were you in the North Seattle Christian middle school production of A Mall and the Night Visitors? Yeah, but I just want to have dinner with my family at Pizza and Pipes, please.
I will sign autographs if you would like, but just not. I'm just trying to have dinner with my family.
Can I finish my dinner, and then afterwards, when I'm coming out of the restaurant, I'd be happy to sign a couple things for you. Limit of three, because a lot of times you just get these, you know, autograph hounds. I'm signing, like, multiple headshots. They're just right up on eBay.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Can you hear Rudy having a dream, by the way?
No.
I woke her up by saying her name.
Yeah.
She will occasionally, during the show, when she's on her pod dog bed, she will become so relaxed and in such a deep state of REM that she'll start to have a dream. She's always barking in her dreams, which I feel like is setting the bar low, because she can bark in real life. Your dreams are supposed to be the place where impossible things happen. In her dreams, it's pretty much like standard behavior. But because she has, you know, like most living creatures, because her body is, I guess, essentially limp when she's sleeping, it just comes out as like, like the saddest little whimper. But, you know, in her dream, it's a full-throated, white fang, Balto-esque, loud dog bark.
Are you sure? Like, first of all,
I'm kind of assuming. You're right.
First of all, I believe I'm the dream judge here.
You look like a dream catcher came to
life. Oh, yeah.
I mean, in her dream, she might actually be speaking English or a bunch of other languages. Who knows? Mm-hmm. You don't know that because you're not
that
in her
dog
head.
Is barking. That is not my dog.
You're right. You know, here's where I get that from. That theory. Last night, I was watching All In with Chris Hayes, as is my regular evening television hang, and Rudy was asleep on top of me, as is her typical weeknight hang, and she was having a dream, and her little paws are also going, but just kind of the littlest, like, twitch, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm thinking, unless her dream is that she's Keyboard Cat, and that's the full range of motion she's trying to achieve. What I assume is that she's dreaming of, like, she's running really fast, but her body is manifesting it in the waking world as little paw clicks. So I sort of extended that to her barking, which, again, it's like, what is it? I make too many Schrodinger's cats references, but basically by saying, can you hear Rudy? I made her stop.
So I ruined it. By the way, does Chris have a dream segment on his show? I haven't seen it in the last few weeks. I saw he posted something. He's starting some sort of – he posted on Twitter.
I believe he's going to have it on his new podcast that which is all we can assume he's doing. He put a very cryptic tweet, which I saw you got back at him, and then he responded because he said, "I'm experimenting with a new medium today," or something.
Yeah, we just got done recording or something. That sounds like a podcast.
That
to me.
Leaves only podcasting unless he's one of the new members of Ashland's puppeteers, known as Puppeteers for Fears, who have announced their 2018 season. Just got the email, Andrew.
Wow. Maybe that's it. I was assuming it was a virtual reality thing, maybe. Could, what if it's
lot
be
to
like...
lot to unpack from that statement, wouldn't you say?
From the press release?
From the press release that just came into my inbox as basically our opening music. Wait a minute. Come on. Work with me, Tears for Fears. I was going to play this song. I was all excited. There we go. Ashland's Puppeteers for Fears announced their 2018 season. They're the only all-original, all-local theater company in Southern Oregon. Except no substitute, Andrew.
Somehow I still find that hard to believe. It's Oregon.
Would you believe that their season highlights from last year include a national revival? Excuse me, this is the upcoming season. It's a revival tour, a national revival tour of the company's hit show. Please don't look this up on the internet, Andrew. What would you guess the Puppeteers for Fears hit show is? The show that they are going to be reviving nationally this year as they travel around the country.
I'm going to assume it's not Puppet with Butterfly Wings. I'm going to assume it's not that. Everybody wants to puppet a tear?
No, but that's a good guess.
Thank you.
Put the 80s, and I'll say 90s, because Sowing the Seeds of Love, that was probably 90s. Put the 80s and 90s musical act, Tears for Fears, out of your mind, even though I'm playing them in the background.
Okay.
It's not related to that. They're just called Puppeteers for Fears for some reason.
Okay.
They are reviving their national hit show, and they're taking it around the country, including the Hollywood Fringe Festival in L.A., and other such places, the Oregon Fringe Festival. What do you think their hit show is?
I believe it's going to be some sort of musical, educational show about cryptocurrency.
Oh, another good guess. I'm much like I was speculating about Rudy's dream life, I'm going to speculate that this is a group of people who would not go to Burning Man. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that. I don't have that on good authority, but let's just imagine a group of puppeteers who probably had a certain Burning Man bent. What would be a character? If I give you one more hint, I'm going to give it away. But it's like a character that is, for some reason, particularly a point of obsession amongst a certain kind of person.
So it's a show about something that these types of people were.
It's a show about a sort of a mythical creature. Okay, now we're getting even easier. Yep, it's about welfare moms.
I was so close to saying that. Why am I blank? Is it a phoenix? Well, that's not, is it a
seven
phoenix?
People got that joke, and I appreciate it.
Phoenix.
That joke is not on welfare moms. That joke is on conservatives. I'm sorry. Keep going.
I don't know. Also, I think I maybe missed that joke. I thought you were just saying that out of the blue.
The right loves to pin our financial and economic ills on this mythical welfare mother that's just draining the system.
Oh, right. So the
one
the
block
joke
of
was
government
about
cheese
mythical.
At a time.
Right. Of course.
The joke was that that's. I don't think that's a real
mythical.
Thing.
Right.
Probably,
right. Okay. So is it a phoenix rising from the Affleck?
Is it too late to make that a show title, like a phoenix from the Affleck?
I don't think
so. No, my friend, they are going to be reviving Cthulhu the Musical.
Oh, I don't really know Cthulhu. I think I've seen it before. What is that?
It's an H.P. Lovecraft character.
Oh,
it's that kind
of
dude with the like bunch of tubes on his face. I'm going to say that's a casual description. As you can tell, I haven't actually read the story of Cthulhu. I barely know how to say it. In fact, I could be saying it wrong.
And I tried to say it the way you said it, and then I ruined the way you said it. So, like, we are
definitely
multiplicity-ing this.
Exactly. This is how these mistakes get signal amped and then become part of the popular lexicon. However you say that thing, C-T-H-U-L-H-U. You know what I mean? You know how there's, like, a certain... Let's just keep going with Tears songs. I'm going with Tears on My Pillow.
Oh, not Tears for Fear songs. Oh, nice.
Well, I only had one Tears for Fear song, yeah. It turns out. Camaro Kev has been integrating this into his karaoke arsenal to great effect, I would say.
You don't remember me.
This is like,
but I remember
whatever
you.
I always talk about.
Twas not so long ago. You broke my heart in two. Tears on my pillow.
Anyway, Cthulhu, or however you say that name, is a kind of. That character is a point of particular interest for certain. I mean, obviously, I guess you would call them what, science fiction enthusiasts. I mean, I think of H.P. Lovecraft as being a science fiction writer, right?
Yeah, he's definitely. And I also, I'm going to go on another limb here, and then it's going to break beneath me because I think that I should not be going on this limb at all. I think it is totally a faulty limb. But is there also, like, in the modern era of people who might be obsessed with that kind of that story and that whole ethos, isn't there a bit of steampunk in there a little bit? Just like a drop.
Absolutely.
Of steampunk?
Not just a drop.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if the original story has steampunk elements, but let me just say a sort of I know it's not a float. I don't know Burning Man technology for that matter. But I would be very unsurprised to see like a Lovecraft, Cthulhu, steampunk, like Burning Man float being created that people were going to like, I don't know, drive around on the playa.
Right. They don't have parades.
I'm sounding very judgy right now. I guess I just thought it seems extremely on brand for me that the Puppeteers for Fears were reviving Cthulhu the musical.
There was a fame. I feel like. I didn't know about these kind of puppeteer groups, especially the politically active ones. There was one in Vermont or New Hampshire. It was my first kind of, possibly my only exposure to this kind of world, because some of my very crunchy and beloved and like mm-hmm. people.
Crunchy and beloved.
Crunchy and beloved. Honestly, some of my first bosses there in New Hampshire were some of the most kind of competent producers, and I learned so much from them. But we're also very different people, and they definitely had that kind of New England crunchy vibe. And there was a puppet company called Bread and Circus. And they were more like the uh-huh. politically active kind who would go. And they were somewhere between the lines of puppeteering and protest. You would find Bread and Circus. And
I love it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the Oregon thing is that.
Yeah, sort of. What would you call that? Like a they were creating a happening.
Yeah, I think so, certainly, yeah.
There are a fair number of YouTube videos that promise to explain the true pronunciation of what I've been calling Cthulhu. Do we dare?
Yes,
do we dare click on CJ Henderson and the true pronunciation
Please.
Of Cthulhu? It's a guy, I'll just tell you this. It is a guy sitting at a Comic-Con. Okay. He doesn't not look like comic book guy. And hopefully, this was at RavenCon in Virginia. Let's see what he says.
This is for posterity. We're going to put this up on our YouTube channel. So whatever, however you want to do this, your show.
Well, let's get this out of the way. So,
by the way, CJ is taking off his lanyard.
Oh,
he said, let's get this out of the way. Like when you're gonna properly pronounce the name of this character, you don't need a lanyard messing things up for you.
Holding you down.
All right, here we go. By the way, well, don't get mean, Burbank. Don't get mean. Actually, you know what? Let's do this. Let's take a quick break because we're already overdue, and I can feel this spinning out of control already. So we'll do short break, come back. We'll hear the proper pronunciation, at least according to someone named CJ Henderson, who is not going to be held back by a lanyard. And then we'll do top stories and everything else. Stay with us. Bread and Circus.
It is. It's the Vaseline's. It's not my favorite song off the album, but it is an ode to Lovecraft. Not often that I get a chance to Yeah. Play the Vaseline's or Lovecraft I like it. On the show. So
I like it a lot. All right, here we go. No. I think it's fun. We can get thematic on things. What I was right before the break, what I was stopping myself from doing was, I already feel like I went kind of a little bit down a bit of a snotty road, a road where I was like, oh, of course the puppeteers are doing Cthulhu. Not nice, not necessary.
It's the negativity train, as we call it. Now it's time to bring the nose up on it.
No reason for me to drive the negativity train. I bet you it'd be actually a really fun, kind of slightly odd but fun experience to go see that. So I feel myself starting to want to do that with C.J. Henderson, who I've never met before, only because he seems, and it's because I've already cast him as the human actual IRL version of comic book guy, because his first question to the people that have their camera up is, where is this going? Like, it's not, it didn't seem super friendly. It seems suspicious. And it seems like, excuse me, he's kind of like got a little bit of a like hesitancy about it. And that you're sitting at a table, you're signing your comics. You think you'd be like, you'd have your smiles on. By the way, Carrie sent a joke to her friend the other night, her friend Erica, and her friend was cracking up. This was like 9 o'clock at night. And her friend said, I thought the cutest thing I've ever heard. She said, I thought I'd put my smiles away for the night. Like, she thought she was done smiling for the night. But no, this late breaking joke, this got to her. I was like, I thought I'd put my smiles away for the night. I love it.
Yeah, except I feel like you should put other things away. You should put your frowns away for the night. You should put your bad thoughts away for the night. But you should keep your keep your smiles.
Well, maybe it was a lesson for Erica, too.
Yeah.
I think she thought she was done smiling. But then my wife sent her that Dodge Shadow-related joke. And she had reason to
that's my wife.
Break out her smiles again. Anyway, here we go.
Wait, can I want to defend this guy just for 1 second to say, because I think you know this, but, you know, it's one thing to be sitting there and it's great people are coming up and you're selling your comic books and people are interested in your work, but let's face it, you don't have to be super famous or not famous at all to feel somewhat off-put when somebody just starts taping you, possibly, you know, without even your permission if somebody comes up. And
fair.
I think, you know, I just know that if I were there and somebody was taping me and then I'm like, oh, I'm being taped, all right. And also, I'm also a guy who says, let's get this out of the way every day before I start recording the show with you. So,
or some days when you start not recording the show.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
C.J. Henderson defended. Here we go.
I mean, what is this for?
This is for posterity. We're going to put this up on our YouTube channel. So however you want to do this, your show.
Well, let's get this out of the way so people can see the outer space babes.
D. Lanyard did.
So people can see the outer space
babes. Oh, by
babes.
The way. Yeah. You know what? Listen, even more reason to embrace the C.J. Henderson view of the world. He's taking his lanyard off because I would assume that his shirt he's wearing is probably also maybe a project that he's worked on. And he figures, hey, it's going to be on YouTube. Let's get the word out.
Sure.
So that makes more sense than the lanyard needing to come off for a Cthulhu pronunciation. By the way, how close do you think I am in how I've been saying it?
It's spelled C with an apostrophe and then TH?
No apostrophe that I've seen.
Oh.
The version I'm seeing is C-T-H-U-L-H-U. By the way,
I think you're doing
well. Love to see this as a Wheel of Fortune topic.
Oh.
Would just love to see it. You want to see a woman named Diane from the Midwest just melt down?
And you know they're going
to have her try to spell. Have her try to guess Cthulhu.
Yeah, and it'll be like people.
All right, here we go. Moving right along.
Author C.J. Henderson here. I am one of the current members of the Kalem Club. Now, that is KLM. The Kalem Club is the oldest professional science fiction writers' convention in existence. It was started by a number of writers in the 20s. One of them was H.P. Lovecraft. The reason it was KLM is everyone that was in the club, their last name had to begin with a K, an L, or an M.
Can you hear this okay? I'm sorry.
I can. Yeah, he's part
ideal.
Of the KLM Club, which is one of the longest sci-fi clubs.
Uh-huh.
KLM. You and I both have a weird obsession with that song. Maybe that's what led us to do this podcast together. I have no idea.
We've indulged that
We've indulged that weirdness before on the show. Like, we've lost a good 40 minutes just playing, like, music from that outfit. But anyway, okay, so you can hear it. Yeah, sorry, the audio is not ideal, but let's get to it.
That is the secret of the Kalem Club. Now, the reason for this video, one of the secrets that has been passed down through the generations from the last century to this moment is the correct pronunciation of C-T-H-U-L-H-U. H.P. Lovecraft told everyone that this is how you pronounce that word. Not to be pronounced by human tongue. Thank you for your time. Tip your waitress. I'll be here through Thursday.
Not to be pronounced by human tongue.
I wonder.
Did you follow that?
Yeah, that must be part of the legend, huh?
That makes sense.
I'm Samarius Fane, your fuzzy guide to the unknown, and I'm going to answer that age-old question. How did H.P. Lovecraft pronounce this word? Well, the short answer is Kololu. And by the end of this video, you'll be able to pronounce it as well. And you can correct those who pronounce it Cthulhu and Cthulhu if you really want to be that guy. If you want to be able to say it just right, press the button in the upper right corner to practice saying it with me, or stick around.
Would you like to practice saying it with this guy? There's literally a button.
Yes, we have to.
Really quick.
Kololu. Kololu.
Kololu.
Lurk. Lurk.
Burk.
Kolhu.
Kolhu.
Oh, Christ, this is Kolhu. My job.
It's been a great last show, everybody.
You thought we'd go out with a marathon or a live show, but this is it.
Yep, just a sad Cole Hugh.
Cole Hugh. I'd
like to thank the people that made this final show possible. Our donors of the day who donated to the TBTL-a-thon. And those donations are what have kept things going up until the day we decided to try to pronounce Cole Hugh. By the way, we will be hearing from our listeners, because I know our listeners are a smart bunch and I know that they know about stuff. And I don't think we've heard the end of this conversation at all.
And right? We also might have just burned a lot of bridges of snottiness with that whole thing. Who knows? Who knows? But I do think that the good news is our inboxes will be full, and that is hashtag content.
Do you think I was being show? About CJ?
I don't know. I think it's okay. Listen, we're Generation X. We can't be earnest about shit. Like, we have all kinds of defense mechanisms that we have spent decades building up around us. It's called sarcasm. It's called insecurity. And people know that's our internal claw foo. You know, that's... Actually, that sounded like I was almost trying to do some sort of a Scottish brogue, I think. Or was that did I slip into some weird Irish there? I don't know what that was.
Let's see. But one last time, let's see what this thing says. See, there's not unanimity on the web about how this is pronounced. Because if you just go to one of those typical kind of YouTube pronouncers that maybe even are generated by some kind of bot, that one's saying it differently too. So it's either not supposed to be spoken by human tongue, as CJ Henderson said, member of the KLM, or it's... As the, was it Sumerian Nerd YouTube page said? Kolhu. Or Cthulhu, as I was saying. It's one of the three. Or something else that we haven't even thought of. We'd like to thank Kolhu Becker of Washington, D.C. You think anyone's named their kid that name?
Yes.
Somebody's named their kid that
name.
Yes,
I do. I believe it 100%. I would bet everything I own on it.
That's a tough draw, right? That's a tough, tough draw.
Maybe. I mean, it could be a boy named Clawhew situation. Could that be what we call the show?
My name's Clawhew. How do you do?
You know, it could really set you up to either be a very, like, kind of independent-minded, a free spirit, strong-willed kind of person with a lot of your own agency. Or it could just mean that you never got out of the second grade. You died of swirly.
Or you died of swirly.
Well, the coroner's report is back.
It's not good.
It is a homicide. And the weapon of choice was swirly. The weapon of choice was purple nurple.
Professor Plum did it in the bathroom.
With an atomic wedgie.
I feel like, by the way, Professor Plum definitely going for the purple nurple.
Yeah, just for the alliteration,
sure.
Obviously.
Yeah, and the plum.
Professor
purple.
Plum, by the way, a member in good standing with Puppeteers for Fears.
Mm-hmm.
David Becker of Washington, D.C., thank you so much for supporting TBTL. Jason Boose of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, one of my very favorite places in the whole wide world, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And close behind that is where Mark Demery is from, Ilwaco, Washington.
Wow.
Those are two cities that sort of are meant to be near each other in a list. Where are you from? Milwaukee? Ilwaco? No, Milwaukee.
Did you say Ilwaco?
I said Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah. My uncle's from Ilwaco.
I said Cthulhu. That's just coincidence, but if you're going to find a town in Washington that sounds the most like Milwaukee, it's probably Ilwaco.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with that. And, of course, there's a famous Ilwaco decision, which is about school funding,
yeah.
I believe.
Which is named for the McCleary School District.
Yeah.
Kim Kerr of Mill Creek, Washington, also donated and made today's show possible. Although maybe we'll break it up into three shows and distribute it that way. And then we'll have the good one and then the not-so-good ones, and then people can just listen to the one they want.
Wait, you lost me again. Wait, you're talking about breaking up this particular show we're listening to now?
Well, I said shows.
Oh,
I misspoke.
Oh, you're just making fun of
I said Kim Kerr was sponsoring the shows, like, plural.
I see. Well, she is.
I realized.
She's sponsoring this show.
Yeah, all of them.
It happens. And also, my producer here has picked up because I was like, ooh, you're talking about a new way of distributing the show? A new way of are we talking formatics? Suddenly I'm in this again.
We're talking more downloads, my good friend.
Oh, God. What if we did that? We're going to do the show. It's going to be the same length as it is now, but you have to download it every minute. So if it's an hour-long show, you have to download it 60 times. Our monthly downloads.
God, think about what that would do for our downloads.
Oh, my God. Look out, Quip. We're about to start charging more.
How about look out, Invisibilia?
Yeah.
We're coming for you.
We're coming for you.
I don't even know what popular podcasts are anymore, Andrew. It's so sad. I mean, I know it's not this one. I know it's not
yeah,
a popular podcast.
No, I can't see other people's numbers. I can see.
I feel like there was a period of time when I just like I still had the will to care, and I was like really up on the iTunes charts. It's funny how not being in the top 100 of iTunes drastically reduces my interest in checking the top 100 of iTunes. Isn't that weird?
Are we definitely not even in the top 100? Are we in the top 100 of comedy? We gotta be.
Of Cthulhu podcasts, we are right outside of the top 100.
Oh, crap.
David, Jason, Mark, and Kim, even though we're not currently in the top 100 podcasts on iTunes, we're in the top 100 of your heart, and we're keeping it 100. And we thank you for helping us make the show possible. This episode, 2602 in A Collector Series, is only because of your support. So thank you.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
It's had a terrible realization, Andrew.
Oh, no,
not
you're
to
not
belabor
recording
this,
either.
I'm probably on that mailing list, which seems fairly, I would say, random, because it's probably a listener of ours is part of the Puppeteers for Fears. And I just gave
maybe
them what do they call it, a rasher?
Is that what they call
rasher.
It?
I think that a rasher is an amount of something.
Weird. Listen.
It's a thin slice of bacon.
Oh.
Why would I think that it means not a ration, which I know is an amount
right,
of.
Yeah.
I feel like I've heard rasher, some version of that used as a kind of a giving someone a hard time. But let's see.
Maybe a rash.
Cthulhu. Maybe a rash. Anyway, if I sounded mean, I apologize. I shouldn't have done that. Everybody gets to do whatever they want, and everybody wants to rule the world. I think those are the mottos of the Puppeteers for Fears. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Dark Skies. This is or Dark Sky. Do you know about this app, by the way?
I did not until you sent me this story. I didn't know anything about it.
I sort of got it on the brain because Carrie and I went to the nursery that is the plant place.
That's my wife.
And boy, I'll tell you what, Carrie in the plant nursery is like me in a casino in Vegas. I'm coming out a few hundred bucks lighter, no matter what.
Yeah, and only the thing is, you're crying, and you've gotten into a fight with an ATM machine.
And I haven't beautified our house.
She has something to show for it.
Anyway.
You okay?
Excuse me, yeah.
Well, you're pulling
I am
Andrew.
Okay, but I just, I had a little, I inhaled a piece of fluff or something.
Mm, I hate that feeling.
Let me wash that down with a little bubbly sparkling water in the apple variety. This was a happy accident last night. I picked up some bubble water at the store at Carrie's behest, and I thought I was buying the lemon lime kind or whatever, mm-hmm. and I was actually buying apple flavored.
Ooh.
And it's delicious.
Really?
Diagnosis, delicious, Hibbard.
I was not expecting that. Is it like sour apple, like one of those candies? Like a
I mean, yeah, but not overwhelmingly
Jolly
so. It's good. Huh. Yeah, but just a Soussaint, just the right amount, actually. And made me think, I'm surprised nobody else is doing this. I consider it to be a serendipitous, even though it wasn't what I was trying to do. Anyway, all better. When we were at the nursery, the plant guy, we were asking some questions about climbing vines, because we have a section of fence that is so rotten and decrepit. It's literally being held together by the paint that we repainted it with at some point. And at some later date, we want to knock it over and replace it and do a whole thing. But that's going to be kind of time consuming and expensive. So in the meantime, our plan is just to grow a million vines on it. And by that, I mean short video clips that were popular mm-hmm. for a while.
Until the platform went away.
Yeah, why did that go away? It seemed very popular.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know either. Was it owned by Twitter? I don't know.
Yeah, one of those big companies had it, and I don't know. It seemed I certainly was hearing about it a lot. Like, it seemed like a going concern. Anyway, we're there, and the guy, it was kind of funny because he was an older fellow. He was the sort of guy that works at a plant nursery not because he's trying to support himself, but because he's retired and just knows everything about plants. And for him to kick it on a Saturday at Kent's Nursery in Bellingham and just kind of like, share his knowledge of all things plants. Excuse me. That fluff came back for me. It just makes him happy. So he said to us, we were asking him a question. He goes, do you guys know how to get on the internet? He asked us that unironically.
Oh, do you?
Do you guys use the internet?
You're like, I don't know how to get off the internet. Here's my podcast.
I started telling him about the light phone. I basically mm-hmm. hosted an episode of TBTL. I was like, well, here's the thing with Twitter. Okay. Oof. It's like I put a tweet out there and then but I did think it was very endearing actually that he said, like, do you guys go on the internet? Do you know how to get on the internet? Or whatever. We're like, Yeah, we go on that sometimes. And he said, you gotta check out Dark Skies. He goes, it's never let me down. It's like the weather app of all weather apps.
Like the ways of weather.
Yes. In fact, it took a Kickstarter to fund Dark Skies. Like it's because, you know, your phone, if you have an iPhone anyway, and I'm sure the other phones have the same kind of a deal. You know, you've got a weather app on your phone, which I use probably. I would say the weather app on my phone is top four apps that I use. How about you?
No. I, as a matter of fact, today I was laying in bed reading Twitter, and then I put my phone down for a second, and then I picked it back up, and I had accidentally opened up the weather app, and I remembered I had it.
Oh, man. See, I'm, like, constantly checking it for, I don't know, and also because of all the work travel. Like, I'm going to L.A. next week for a story, and I'm already, like, I'm already up on that weather app game, like, ooh, what are we dealing with?
I'm not a weather. I'm a shut-in, so it doesn't really.
I guess
me.
So, and I guess that's the evidence of it. I feel like you oversell that, but yeah, I mean, look, the proof's in the pudding there, and the not checking of the weather app. Like, that's a you're living a deeply indoor life, my friend.
Absolutely, I'm like that guy in Twin Peaks, who looks like he's 16 years old, but is supposed to be like 35, and he never leaves his house, and he's got a bunch of plants.
The log lady.
The log boy. That's, but it's not pronounced log boy.
I'm not one of those weather, like, there are people that are like weather heads, like their favorite channel is the Weather Channel. Like, they're interested in weather as just a phenomenon, like in other cities, in places they're not visiting soon, just kind of like, oh boy, you had a real system moving through Mobile. Oh, are you going to Mobile? No, just a fan of weather. Like, the Weather Channel is a very popular cable channel. Like, Jim Cantore, he's kind of like their, he's their Arthur Kent, their Scud Stud. Boy, that was a reach.
Wow. Was that from the first Gulf War? Is that what your reference?
I believe so. Wow. I believe he was a war correspondent who became well known and was known as the Scud Stud.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm not one of those people. Like, I'm not interested in weather just as for the sake of weather. I'm interested in, like, what's going to happen in my immediate life related to the weather. And so this guy swears by dark skies. This guy at the nursery, he said, it's never, ever been wrong. And it's like hour by hour. It will. And the reason he was interested in it was because of the question of frost. The way this whole conversation came about was because we wanted to plant some stuff. And he was like, you need to wait and make sure we're totally clear of the frost. And in fact, if you get on this app, you will always know hour to hour what's going to be happening with the weather. He said it's never been wrong.
Huh.
Well, it has been wrong now, apparently. A bunch of people got up recently and looked at their Dark Skies app and were told in places like, for instance, Arlington, Virginia, that it was going to – the weather that day was going to range from negative 107 degrees to 47 degrees. And then the next day, the temperature would go from minus 20 to 99.
So it's quite a range. They weren't wrong. Yeah. It was somewhere in there.
Tough to dress for, though.
True. I think the tweet I saw about this was, bottom line here is we're really going to have to dress in layers this week.
Yeah. Layers, apparently, of whatever it is they wear in space.
Yes.
It's going to be negative 120 degrees.
Yep.
Many users reportedly rely heavily on Dark Sky. Somebody at Business Insider, Brant Ronge, says, this is how I plan my weekend activities. If Dark Sky says it's going to rain on Saturday, I'll plan on bringing an umbrella or finding a good indoor project. Ars Technica, meanwhile, has described Dark Sky's predictions as hyper-accurate, a claim the company itself cites on its page. It may be the thing that typically makes these predictions reliable that made them go astray this week. As Fast Company reports, Dark Sky has experimented with machine learning, allowing the company to compare publicly available data sets and automatically make adjustments to things like temperature, dew point, wind speed, and more at very specific locations. In theory, at least, that approach has the potential to make the app more precise and accurate than anything a human meteorologist is likely to churn out. However, even a small change in the incoming data or the tool could lead to glitches. So that's apparently what happened. In case people in the listening audience were freaking out, no, the world is not coming to an end. It was just too much data.
I'm tempted right now to download that app because it sounds like fun, but I don't. First of all, I'm at a point now where my phone's acting a little bit glitchy, and I'm starting to think, like, is it from something that I downloaded at some point? Like, I had to take off my my therapist pantsuit. I had to take off my Learn the U.S. States kind of quiz app because I'm trying to trace back to when my phone started acting funky. And I think it's when I tried to use it to better myself. So I'm starting by removing any app. I took
it
off
knew.
Duolingo. I took off
Red Atlas. Alert. Red Alert. Attempt to better self. Attempt to go outdoors.
What
abort.
If,
abort.
Not to get all Lovecraftian. It's not Lovecraftian, but that would be an interesting sci-fi story. First of all, somebody should write a sci-fi story about me, the shut-in. If I was a listener, I'd be a shut 10. The recluse Andrew, what if it turns out that my technology is actually working together to keep me in inside. Yeah, it's all working in collusion. Like, it turns out, like, this guy who never leaves his house, like, well, every time he looks at his weather app, it says it's going to be raining, and it's going to rain any minute, so he doesn't leave, and other things.
That's actually, that is a clever premise, because all of the smart technologies in your world are just kind of in on it. But then the question is, to what end? Is this big, what is this big... big Minecraft trying to keep you inside to play your Minecraft? Like, who's at the top of this?
What if this? What if it turns out that there's something that I am doing at home that is actually powering the internet? It turns out that the internet is fueled by me playing Hearthstone.
And you don't even know it.
I don't even know it. And it doesn't even matter whether I'm winning or losing or anything like that. It's just, it's like the hamster on the wheel that keeps the electricity burning. That's how we have it running at our house. We're off the grid. Like, you know, I am the hamster on the wheel keeping the internet going by playing Hearthstone. So anytime I'm about to leave, maybe I'm going to go to the grocery store, but my Amazon Echo tells me, nope, we've already ordered that for you. It's on the way.
That's a great premise for a short story, a short film, probably not a long film.
No.
But the idea that you're just unwittingly at the absolute crux of some massively important global thing, but you don't even realize it. And you're kind of, you know, just the decisions that you make, which feel like they're just, you know, at sort of at random, are affecting everybody in the world. And by the way, you're also describing a version of a sort of mental illness where you do think you control the weather.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, I just got to stay right here or else I'm going to create a tornado somewhere. But no, I would read that book.
It's, you know, probably what it is? It's a Black Mirror episode. It's a Black Mirror episode.
Yes.
Only it's all
precisely.
Done with puppets.
Precisely.
Yeah.
That's right. Exactly. It's a Black Mirror episode. So that's what's going on with that.
Good.
By the way, if you saw that weather report and you were freaking out, don't be freaked out. Is it weird that I do find it a little, I don't want to say disturbing, but I'm drawing a strong connection between you not caring about the weather and you not living your most Moss. Well, it could just be because you just wear the clothes you wear, and if it's raining, you'll just look out and you'll just, like, put a hat on.
Yeah, that is very true.
If need be, grab an umbrella. You don't have a complex system of, like, hair powders you put on and various, you know, I don't know. I got a lot going on with outfits that are related to maybe a job thing. Like, oh, we're going to shoot this thing outside, and so what do I have to, like, be ready for? Maybe I'm overthinking it, or maybe I'm thinking about it about the right amount. But I guess it's not so much that you're a recluse. It's just that you just don't – it's not a big deal to you. You just go outside and do what you got to do.
Well, also, you and I are kind of on the opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to how weather affects us. I actually was almost brought this up yesterday. I didn't want to say it because it makes me sound like I'm trying to be so random. But I'm not. I think I'm just a weird guy in some ways. I'm only happy when it rains. I just came up with that, and I'd like to...
Somebody should write a Black Mirror about that.
Yes, they should. Or possibly a 90s song. It would be total garbage. I am not... Like, to the degree where I'm unhappy if it's sunny. Obviously, living in this part of the country or any part of the country that has some seasons, once the weather starts to be a little spring light, once the light starts changing, I get excited about it. And I really am looking forward to this summer. I think it's going to be a good summer. And I would be sad if summer never came, obviously. So I don't like living in miserable weather all the time. But... we've talked about this a lot. I was not happy with the weather in Los Angeles. I found that the nice weather, the constant quote-unquote nice weather, was really making me unhappy at times. You know, there's a chance that we'll move back there at some point. I think that, you know, it wasn't torture, but I needed the days when it was raining. In fact, I was listening to the Kevin and Bean show today, and Allie McKay, who's one of the hosts on that show, was talking about she had a name for it because it's raining in L.A. right now, and she's saying how she's happier and more productive than she has been in a really long time, and there's a word for people who like rain. Yesterday was a really nice day here, a little bit chilly, but very sunny. And I went to my teriyaki joint. I got on my scooter and rode that thing like a bear on a motorized bicycle to the teriyaki joint. And
I feel like you have a Russian name in this analogy.
So there I am, Andruski, heading over to Teriyaki Madness. And
Andruski and the bear.
I sat in my usual seat, which is by the window, but it was a really sunny day, and the sun was kind of... It wasn't that warm outside, but it was definitely warm sitting by the window because, you know, whatever the greenhouse effect of sunlight coming through glass is. I know you don't believe in that greenhouse gas bullshit. But no, anyway, the greenhouse effect was making it kind of hot. I had trouble reading my phone because it was so bright. I was starting to get too hot while I was eating. I started to feel very uncomfortable. And I almost moved to a seat that was not by the window anymore. And I was thinking, wow, this is the first sunny day we've had in forever, and I'm already getting irritated by the sun. Now, that is not my constant mode. Again, I am looking forward to this summer, but I do think that you have – I think it's affecting you more and more, too, this seasonal affective disorder. You need sunshine. It's like recharging your batteries, and Genevieve is the same way, whereas me – I kind of get a kick out of it when it's been sunny for a while, but then the clouds are rolling in, and things are just calming down a little bit. Let's get a little moisture in here. Let's give me some personal space in my face.
I think when it's funny because when I moved to LA, I loved the weather. There might have been a couple of like extremely broiling days where I thought it could be, you know, 5-10 degrees cooler. But generally speaking, I absolutely loved it. And I was surprised how much I loved it and surprised how much I didn't miss the quote unquote seasons. They're not really quote unquote seasons. I mean, they're just the seasons. I'm not Donald Trump tweeting. Wiretap,
right?
Quote unquote.
Well, but I mean, but, I guess you know you don't feel the seasons change there, but of course there are seasons. I mean, spring, summer, winter, fall. So I allow those.
Yeah,
I allow those.
Oh, thank you. But I really liked it, and so now I've carried for the rest of my life. I've carried that feeling of like, gosh, the sun makes me happy, and the not sun makes me less happy. I wonder if Genevieve had a similar experience because now, yeah, I'm like yesterday. I mentioned this at the top of the show, but yesterday, it wasn't even like it was nice in the daytime when I was recording the show. It was pleasant out. Then it actually kind of got a little cloudy, but I had already committed to the idea of barbecuing. And so I was like, not to be deterred. I didn't care. Even if it was going to be raining, I was like, I'm going to be out there. And dude, I took the cover's been on the barbecue since whenever, you know, fall, since it was covered up. Unvelcroed that bad bee. Got it off there and fired that thing up. Boy, was that grill covered in some kind of weird rust and fungus and who knows what, but I got that thing all ship shape, fired it up, put my Oscar Peterson Trio smooth jazz music on the outdoor speaker, poached some halibut, and sat in a folding chair, and I was about as happy as I could be, man. And then got up today and just right back to shit show.
Oh.
Just totally horrible weather. But that's okay. I mean, that's just how it goes. But I was, man, that made me so happy to be out there barbecuing. So yeah, I'm sorry. I know I'm a broken record with this, but it's just like, I am definitely going to be one of those snowbird people mm-hmm. when I'm older, by which I mean when I'm 43.
Mm-hmm.
I am one of those people who is going to absolutely be like, we're going down to Sun City. We've packed up the RV. And we're going to be down in Arizona with our friends for the next few months.
That's what my grandma and grandpa did for a while, but then they just stayed in Arizona. And my grandma's still in Arizona. Didn't go to one spring training game, if you believe it.
Don't mention baseball to me. Don't cyberbully me. Did you see, by the way, that one of our David Phelps, one of our relievers, out for the season, Tommy John surgery?
No, I did not see that.
Good stuff. Good stuff. And the real baseball season starts next week, which I know. For reasons that make no sense, excited about.
I want to be excited. I feel like such a jerk for not being excited. Like, I'm still excited for everything that baseball represents. I'm looking forward to having baseball on the radio all the time. Genevieve's not. I think Genevieve hates the sound. Genevieve likes those movies. I've probably told this before. And she's the one who made the comparison. For some reason, I don't know why, I hope it's not sexism on my part, but you know those movies where the kids sing and they dance and they stack the cups and there's three of them now?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Pitch Perfect.
Pitch Perfect, thank you. It was out of a lot of old man-ish things I've said in my life, that was the old man-est. Anyway, for some reason, like, I tell you sometimes I can be in the room with Genevieve while she's watching TV and I can just like play on my iPad. But there are certain things that kind of get on my nerves if I'm not watching the TV and the sound of it. One is what I call crash 'em ups, like any kind of action adventure movie. If I'm not looking at the screen, you realize you've just been listening to like 4 or 5 minutes of explosions and crashes and all that. It really gets on my nerves. And the other thing is the Pitch Perfect movies. I don't know why. I don't know if it's the way they're compressed. I don't know if I just hate fun. Probably that. But I just hate being in the room when the Pitch Perfect movies are on. And I subject Genevieve to her version of that for 6 months out of the year. And it is called Rick Riz and Aaron Goldhammer. The voices
Goldsmith.
Of, Goldsmith. Sorry. Aaron Goldhammer is the Cleveland football commentator I listen to all the time.
The keeper of the Roxino, you know, rock line.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, that was an aside. But so I'm looking forward to all that. But for the very first time as a Mariners fan, I can't even find I can't find any optimism, man.
Is exactly why they're going to win the AL West.
Let's hope. I'll do it every year if it works. But it's not a defense mechanism. I'm just like, oh, man, this is going to be rough.
Well, I'm going to perk you up with this new segment called Random Acts of Audio, or, I don't know, better name, to be arrived at later. I actually started to play this for you the other day, so really I'm playing this for the listeners for the first time. But I can't remember where I was on the internet, but there was just somebody saying, hey, you want to hear the DuckTales intro in Hindi? They didn't actually say that to me. It was written somewhere. And mm-hmm. But my answer, and I did answer aloud because I talked to the internet, was, you bet. So I just thought I'd play that. And for everybody our age, this is like definitely in the top 5 iconic cartoon intro songs, I think. Did you watch DuckTales?
Did they have that out there? Yeah, and who was on our show? We used in some intro tape based on DuckTales, right? Based a stand-up comedian who was on our show has a whole bit about the DuckTales theme song. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're probably not wrong, but I don't specifically remember that. But I can't even tell you if DuckTales as a cartoon was good. I just know that the theme song had me. Like, I would watch the theme song like it was a show. Like, oh my God, they're going down that mine. They're on that, like, what do you call that?
Mine cart.
The mine cart. It's tipping. It's tipping.
Oh, and then they're going to go off and it's going to shoot them out over a cliff, right? Aren't they going to come out of a hole in the side of a cliff?
Totally fascinated. 5 days a week watching that intro, and the music was so great. And I think Scrooge diving into the swimming pool of money, which, as they pointed out on Family Guy, would kill him.
You just kill him. Just hurt. Because it's not going to
give. It's still solid.
Just
gonna
it's hurt.
Made up of things that are small, but together they form a solid mass.
Take all of the change in your house, put it into a big Tupperware container, punch your fist into it, see what happens.
Life is like a hurricane, you know? Mm-hmm. One of the lines, I believe, from this song. So anyway, here you go. DuckTales in Hindi. Random act of audio, and note the words that clearly have not gotten around to making the Hindi word for, which I also find kind of fun. Key change coming. I forgot about the part where an alien steals a dollar from Scrooge in space.
Oh, right. In a little, like it's an actual flying saucer type of thing, right? And
yes.
The arm comes out of the flying saucer.
Yes, I love it. Now, this video that I just clicked on YouTube, it's 2 minutes and 3 seconds long. So we just heard the theme song. It's exactly 1 minute.
And I guess it's just going into an actual episode, which my guess would be there would be voiceover in Hindi, and it won't be quite as iconic as the theme song. But
can we at least test
does
it?
That not no? make...
I like to push things to the point where they're unlistenable. So let's just hear what happens. I'm just curious.
Yeah. Okay, I've got to get that
screen. Unless you actually know.
No, I don't know. I was looking at the timing, and I was like, I was thinking to myself, 2 minutes and 3 seconds, that's way too long for this. Like, the theme song is not 2 minutes long. So, yeah, okay, here we go. Let's find out what the next 1 minute and 3 seconds is like. Working for Scales is, you know what? I think it's just going to restart.
Oh, never mind.
Because you got a title page, like the episode was called Working for Scales. But now I'm seeing, I don't know if it's Huey, Dewey, or Louie, but I'm seeing one of their cute little duck tookuses marching jauntily, which I also know to be the opening of the DuckTales theme. Wouldn't it be amazing if this was in, I don't know, Tagalog? If this was the theme in a different language? Let's check it out. Oh, it's just the theme muted.
Oh, well, that's fun.
By the way,
that's fun.
And
too.
Scrooge McDuck running from a tidal wave. I forgot about that tidal wave too. What do you think could have caused a tidal wave of money?
Oh, it's a tidal wave of money. Oh, wow.
He's in his vault. You know how the whole kind of ocean motif, I guess you would say. If I smoked more pot, I would watch DuckTales once a day.
Maybe.
No question about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I go ahead.
Please. Please.
Well, no, I'm changing subjects again, and I'm sorry to do this. I get obsessed with things, but it was Baron Vaughn who I was trying to think of before, because there are two different stand-up comedians that I think of when it comes to morning cartoon themes or afternoon cartoon themes. One was Ron Funches. Do you remember? He has a whole bit about the Muppet Babies theme and how it's actually terrifying, and he is a man who does smoke a lot of pot, and I think his bit might have been about how when you break down, maybe possibly while high, when you break down the actual Muppet Babies theme song, it can really terrify a youngster. And then the other one was Baron Vaughn, and I found the intro tape here. Do you mind if I just play it for my own edification? I remember it being very funny, and we haven't had a chance, a reason to play it in years.
Why not? Yeah, I love Baron Vaughn.
Yeah, me too. Would love to get him back on the show, by the way.
Apologize if you do not know. I apologize to you as a human being if you do not know the early 90s Disney cartoon theme songs, because it means that you have missed out on the definition of someone going for it, because whoever sang those songs pulled no punches. There was a level of commitment that went straight into your soul. Sadly, I think it's the closest my generation has to, like, Sam Cooke or Marvin Gaye. Like, at their prime, this Donnie Hathaway commitment, where you're like, oh, shit, there's a danger right behind me. All those lyrics, such passion.
I've never heard this before.
Chippendale, rescue rangers, Chippendale, when there's danger, oh, we oh, tail spin, oh, we oh, tail spin, Darkwing Duck, let's get dangerous. Go true, we will always live together. Gummy bears. Then there's a... No. Then there's a key change.
Ah.
That Aretha Franklin would go, shit, I'll work up to it.
I love that. I think we played that last time he was on the show. I think we played that as the
intro.
I
don't feel like I've ever heard that bit, but it's genius.
Do you tune out during the intros? Maybe that's
often.
What's going
Sometimes
on.
Sometimes I'm not even here yet. Do you know, I live a busy life. I'm checking my weather app. I'm powdering my bald spot.
I remember
a lot of stuff.
I remember that bit reminded me. I think it was that bit that reminded me that there was something called Gummy Bears that I watched a lot of growing up.
Really?
And I had totally forgotten about it. If somebody hadn't reminded me that there was a show I used to watch called Gummy Bears, I would have never remembered it. But then the second he said that, it all came flooding back like a wave of gummy bears.
Gummies, bears from the Black Forest. Mm-hmm. I that show was not on where I was growing up, or at least not on the TV channels that I had access to, which really is what this all comes down to. Whatever your local television provider was doing, that's what you were all about as a kid. And there's no, like, so for instance, I was really into Gem is Truly Outrageous. Truly outrageous.
The rock band,
Gem was, and again, apologies because I'm going to get some of this wrong, but
Jem was a very fabulous kind of like rock and roll, not rock and roll, but she was in a band, and she was really awesome, and she used the power of synergy, I believe, to be really awesome and amazing. But then there was like the alternate version of her called the Misfits, and they were sort of out to get Jem and the whatever her crew was. I also loved Muppet Babies. And I'm sorry, I humored you with Baron Vaughn. Right, now you humor me. Animals testing, animals testing a little behind the rest of the Muppet Babies. It's we got him in a special program. We just kind of we give him an iPad, set him up in the back of the room. It's fine.
Is everything all right in here? Yes, sir.
Solid intro theme.
So good. And I'm going to give,
that's better than 80% of Billy Joel's music.
I'm going to make easily. I'm going to give everybody a project. I'm going to give somebody a project if you choose to take on this project. What I need somebody to do is to take the audio of the Fred Armisen character where he's pretending to be a drum teacher. It's like a groof. And I need you to take that audio and I need you to kind of overdub it over scenes of Animal playing the drums and actually make it look like Animal is teaching us how to play the drums in the voice of Fred Armisen's character. That's your assignment.
Somebody told me about a Fred Armisen. He's got like a drum. He's got a Netflix special.
Oh yeah, I watched that.
Playing
yeah.
like a bunch of different drum kits, and it's not. Maybe you were telling me about it. Like
I don't know.
One of these late nights we spend together. But that it's not like it's sort of LOL funny in the way some of the stuff he does is, but it's really interesting.
Yeah, it's okay.
How would you describe it?
I think you described it pretty well. I mean, it is, I think it's called Comedy for Drummers, right? It's a play, or hold on, let me just take a look if that's right, because I think it's more of a play on, it's called Stand Up for Drummers. That's what it's called, because it's a kind of a play on words. And so it is an entire set of comedy that is based on, you know, his knowledge of drums. And so some of it is funny. And even if you don't get the references, you can pick them up with enough context. So you're like, oh, I get why a drummer would think that's funny. Some of it goes over your head. But for the most part, it starts off funny. But then it just gets, I thought, for me personally, as somebody who doesn't play the drums, it got real kind of self, what's the word I'm looking for? Perfectly described TBTL. Self-indulgent.
Self-indulgent.
Yeah,
oh,
it got
sure.
really, really self-indulgent. So he has, I mean, can you spoil alert a comedy show? It builds to this part. You notice during his stand-up that there are a bunch of drums set up in the audience, like a row of drums is separating the audience from left to right. And I thought it was just props until he gets to the part of the show where he goes from drum set to drum set and explains that, oh, this is the drum set from like the 30s. So this would have been jazz. And then he does like a little imitation of what drumming from that era would have been like. And then he kind of moves through the ages drum set to drum set, which seems like it would be cool. And I'll bet you if I was a drummer, I'd really like it. It got real boring to me, though, after a while. And maybe that just speaks to my small brain.
Maybe you should smoke more weed. And watch more DuckTales and enjoy more drumming lessons from Fred Armisen.
Power out.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week I hope that it's from a female. Oh, man. It's not from a female.
All right. We got a couple of emails or V-mails that you feel like sharing with the rest of the class, Andrew?
Yeah, I got a couple of... this has been a fun show, by the way. weird, but fun.
We're not recording it, but it's good.
Yeah, just chances. Yeah, everything will crash this one. I want to give a quick update on the mystery Christian rap song from my youth that we have established does exist. It is called Samson and Delilah. It is by the Rap Shores. Rap? Sure. Off their album OT Rap from 1987. Yesterday we talked about how Bobby and Sheila found a copy of it deep in the archive stacks of Cornell University, I think it was, but were not able to actually get a chance to listen to it. And then today, I want to tell you, I got another email from Bobby that says, I found a 30-second snippet of the song. So I listened to that 30-second snippet, and I will tell you this. It doesn't sound exactly how I've been describing it, but it does. I'm not totally off. At first, I was mad at myself. Here's the deal. I keep on describing it as having a huh, like Samson and Delilah. Yeah. Huh. I heard no huhs in this 30-second sample. Here's the deal. You're thinking, well, this would be the part of the show where I finally play the damn song for you. But I think I'm going to not do that, Luke, and here's why. I also got an email from listener Glenn, who's in Athens, Alabama, and he says, I decided to Google the title, and I found an Amazon copy for just $4.49 plus shipping, so I've ordered it, and I'm going to rip the song for you. Yeah, I don't know about the handling. That's where they get you, Glenn. Anyway, yeah. He's going to rip it for us, and then he'll just send us a digital version of it so we can play the whole thing when it's in our grubby little
Will
hands.
That be your music for your weekend choice?
I have a feeling that here's what I think I'm going to do. I'm going to surprise you. I'm just going to bump into segment two with it one day without giving you any warning. And I think you'll hear it and you'll recognize it. And I don't know what the end game is. I don't know if this whole mystery is making anybody happy. I've really enjoyed it. So thanks for humoring me in that.
That's
aspect.
What counts.
Yeah. So thank you to Bobby, Sheila, and now Glenn. And Glenn, I eagerly await this. And thank you. I really feel bad whenever anybody spends money on the show, with the exception of donating to TBTL during the TBTL-a-thons, yeah. Of course. I feel bad when anybody kind of like actually puts their own money towards some weird, dumbass obsession of mine. But I would be lying if I said I didn't appreciate it. So thank you.
Let me say something to listener Sheila, who did such a solid to go and... if it's the Sheila that I'm thinking of, she knows Dave Ross from the day, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from back in the day when they were in a band called Back in the Day.
Oh, you're in a band. What was it called?
We've got a Sheila in Ithaca who knows from Dave Ross and is a dedicated, long-suffering TBTL listener. But, you know, I know she was probably just kind of busting our chops by talking about how she had to walk all the way down there. But it did make me think, and I don't want to sound, I don't know, I don't want to sound like I'm trying to lecture anybody or give anybody unsolicited life hacks or life tips. But if you are ever have to like park further away from the, you know, the store than you want to at the mall or what have you, or even this, like you got to go somewhere and it's like, oh, it's across campus. Tell yourself, yeah, but I'm getting steps in. I've changed my life. And by the way, I don't think that it actually really accretes to a very big difference in my physical health. But it's changed my mental outlook. And again, I'm not saying the listener, Sheila, was really actually upset by this. But like I used to spend hours, maybe not hours, but a lot of time trying to get the parking spot so much like as close as possible to the thing I'm trying to go to. And I'd be in the car for extra time trying to keep getting, you know, make sure I was getting as close as possible instead of just parking a little further away and just being like, whatever, I'm going to take 40 extra steps. And by the way, extra steps. And when I started doing that, so many things became less annoying for me. Like, oh, you know what? You got to go to the other part of the Lowe's where they handle that. Oh, you know what? Extra steps. Cool. It has, for me, really taken a certain amount of grumpiness off of my plate because I'm just like, cool, extra steps. And I'm just throwing it out there as a freebie. People can embrace it or not embrace it. But it's making me feel a little bit less annoyed by a lot of things.
I also caught you one time here in my studio. You just laid down on the ground and started vibrating, trying to trick your watch into thinking you were getting extra steps too. So I think that you can.
I have one of those
far.
1950s like weird, you know, machines that just kind of shakes me.
Right, like it goes around your belly and it's attached to a wall, and then it just shakes your belly.
Apple thinks I took part in 33 consecutive hula contests, and it's all down in my activity app.
Okay.
And if you tell Apple, I will murder you.
I know you're lying because you don't use Apple. you use? Don't you use a special? What super?
You know,
brand
I
that you
started
love?
Using it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What happened? Well, here, yeah, they got me because I got this, you know, the watch. And before, when I didn't have the watch, I had the other kind of watch that was made by Withings, which was then acquired by Nokia. And that one was a different system, and I was using that system, and it worked great for me. But what I like about the watch is I can listen to my Time Cop 1983 music, which is not a bad, like, Rutger Hauer movie. It's a band. And I like listening to them when I jog. And with the watch, I can just have that in my little earbuds. I was thinking about that, by the way, for you and your Mariners. This is not unlike getting a TV in a separate room. It's a dangerous road to go down. But you could get some wireless earbuds, and you could just have one in. You could just have the Mariners going in one ear as you wander around your place, and therefore you're not subjecting Genevieve to it. But you are also becoming one of those people.
Yeah. I did something pretty rude this weekend. Genevieve and I were packing up boxes, and Genevieve was in the other room. You know, I have those wireless like Sony headphones, but they're like closed headphones that go over your head. They're the bigger kind. And I love them. They're noise canceling if you choose to use them in that way. But anyway, I decided, oh, this is great. You know what I'm going to do? Genevieve's in the other room packing up, and I'll just go into my office, and I'll start kind of sorting my CDs and get them ready to start packing up. God, you want to hear really quickly about how insane I am with my OCD? Do you remember? You know I have like two towers of CDs in my office near where you sit when you're here. But remember, I was also complaining the other day I had like two shoe boxes of CDs, one from Genevieve's car, one from my car, from our trips. We drove in separate cars from L.A. up here to Seattle. And they've been sitting there for 2 years, and I've been meaning to integrate them back into my collection, which is, you know, of course, alphabetical and all that jazz.
Yes.
Before I decided to start packing up my CDs, which I have not done yet, I decided to go through the task of integrating all of them and making room for all of them, because a lot of them were new CDs that I had purchased in LA and never had integrated into my collection. And I'm running out of room on my shelves. So I like spent like probably an hour and a half at the very least, like making room for these new CDs, making sure that they stayed in alphabetical and, if possible, chronological order, removing a couple of duplicates because it's the first time that Genevieve and I have kind of combined our CDs. We didn't have a lot of overlap, but some REM overlap and stuff. I spent an hour and a half organizing the CDs, not even packing them. They're still not packed. But anyway, what I did that was so rude was I decided, oh, you know what? While I'm packing up my music, I'm going to listen to music, and I put on those headphones. Now, I was listening to the new Breeders album, and Genevieve, you know, Genevieve's the type of person, she's not like me. She just likes to talk a lot, which sounds like a rude thing to say. I love talking to Genevieve, and Genevieve, when she's talking, she's being funny and smart. So I'm not trying to make it sound like she's an uninteresting blabbermouth, but she does have more of an instinct just to kind of constantly kind of talk from the other room or mention this as it comes up. And while I go through modes of that, I also can just put on a pair of headphones and just zone out for an hour and a half while I organize my CDs. And that combination of personalities wasn't really working. And I gotta say, being in a couple means you can't just put on noise canceling headphones and try to listen to the Breeders while you're packing, while Genevieve is trying to talk to you. Like, I kept on taking off my headphones, like, what did you say, until Genevieve finally said, will you just please take off the headphones, and can we just listen to some music together? Like, can't we do that? And I was like, yes, of course we can do that. That makes more sense than what I was doing.
How is that Breeders album, though, the part you did get to listen to?
It's okay. It's all right. I want to listen to it again. I listened to the first few tracks, sounded remarkably like 90s era Breeders, I thought. But then I don't know if
you probably
center,
liked, right?
Yeah, which I liked. Now, but then the center didn't hold on it, because the Breeders did a good combination, I feel like, back in the day of being somewhat dirgy at time. You know, they definitely had some of that minor key stuff that you're not a huge fan of, and doing some real slow, drawn-out songs, almost comedically drawn-out in some cases. But they could also throw in a cannonball, get your feet a-tapping and your hands a-clapping, right? This doesn't seem to have any of that more poppy sensibility. It's all, so far, the slower stuff, and then, you know, that started to kind of wear on me after a while. Plus, Genevieve kept interrupting me.
Yeah, of course. What do you see as the realistic possibility that you're, and this is going to sound loaded when I say it this way, but it's not. Do you think that you'll listen to your CDs now, once you get them organized and in your new place kind of set up so that you can just walk in, grab a CD that you're thinking of. Do you think you'll actually interact with them more or a lot?
No, in fact, less than ever, because my old car, my beloved car that I had to say goodbye to, had
my Scion
that I had to say goodbye to, had a CD player built in, like you'd expect, into the radio. And the reason I started buying CDs more in LA was because I was stuck in traffic all the time. So, and there's that awesome record store down there, Amoeba Records, which was Amoeba, like my happy place. And so I would love to spend Saturdays there, buy some CDs, go to a movie with Veeves at the Arclight next door, and then I would listen to those CDs the next week. Our new car, like, it has a CD player, but it's in the glove box? Have you heard of this shit?
No, I haven't. That's surprising. I would think you have a CD player, you don't have a CD player. You don't have one in the glove box.
I'm pretty sure we have one and it's in the glove box. We also have a USB drive in the glove box for some reason. Anyway, so I don't...
Well, the USB drive makes sense because that's probably how you... If you need to plug like a hard line into the matrix, if you need to jack into the matrix of the stereo, that's probably how you do it, right?
Yeah, I think so. And
if you're not using Bluetooth.
But it also doesn't make sense because like there's a function on our little screen where you can look at pictures. Like if I wanted to, I could be like, hey, Luke, I have a bunch of pictures from my vacation. They're on this thumb drive. Let's go out to the VW and I'll plug it in and show you on the screen that's in the middle of the console.
I'd do that.
I mean, I know you would. You're game for anything, and that's why I like you. But it just seems a little weird. And I don't have a CD player in the house anymore. And even though I'm very excited about my Walkman, which I saw just shipped today and should be here by next Monday, I have no intentions of buying Discman. Or a Discman, because as you mentioned, like that just never worked, right? Even the Discman at the, when they reached.
What if it
Discman,
was like banana yellow and it was a Discman Sport and one side of it was actually like a hand, like what would you call it? A strap to put over your hands so you could run?
Right.
With your hands flat with your Discman on one hand?
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. That does bum me out a little bit, but I'm really looking forward to my new office. I'm going to, as I mentioned to you, like make my cassette tapes more accessible because I'm going to have a way of playing them now. I have, I do have the CDs. I don't ever want to box up my media again and just put it in the dusty corner unless I have to. Hey,
there is.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that there is a, it's charming, but it's there does have to be a certain intentionality behind listening to anything these days that's basically not just digital. And I know like real audiophiles will say, and they're not wrong, that the digital stuff is usually pretty compressed, etc. But like we have a record player, and we do play records sometimes. But I mean, it is 100% more of a hassle and less efficient than just dialing up Apple Music on the ding-dang Sonos.
Yeah, but it's also fun. Like, you have your record player in the rumpus room, and I like that because it makes the music more of a conversation. When we were down there, I can't remember if it was just you, me, and Carrie, or if it was the night that Genevieve was there, too. We were playing ping pong, and then we were also, and Carrie was spinning the discs, and, like, she was surprising us with music and taking them all out. Like, there's something about, like, making it more of an activity that is fun. Now, if you're just going to be painting the house, no, you don't want to be, like, taking – remember that coffee shop in Chicago where you were irritated that like Rumors was on the record player, but it just kept ending. So you just took it upon yourself, I believe, to go flip over the record every half hour. So like, that's not convenient.
Great album, but man, that whatever that is, that 18 minutes goes by really fast.
But there are more convenient ways to listen to music, but there are also times and places where it's kind of fun to, and this might just be my age, but, to kind of have that kind of physicality with music. There is a pleasure for me in just arranging my CDs and looking at them and picking them out and reading the backs of them. And even some, Genevieve was making fun of me. My disease started apparently a long time ago when I was still a young man because, like, she was laughing at the fact that I rewrote some of the music lists, some of the track listings on some of the CDs because they were misprinted or they were missing a song or two songs were out of – I can't remember what it was, but I think it was on Reckoning, the R.E.M. album. Yeah. And so like I would even go in and just kind of like hack into my CDs and make sure that I had proper track listings. So I don't know. It was a collection of mine, and there's something just pleasurable about going down memory lane and organizing them.
I feel you.
I did want to. I know we have to go, but I'm going to change the subject here quickly because we have a bunch of emails and V-mails. We can get to more of them tomorrow. But just one quick tweet that I thought was really interesting today. That Walkman that I bought on eBay sent you and I in a little bit of a rabbit hole looking at the seller, the person who I'm buying that from on eBay, mm-hmm. who it looks like probably grabs a bunch of stuff from estate sales or possibly even is hired to maybe, you know, clean out people's attics and then sell stuff on eBay. It was a bunch of random stuff. And they were claiming to be selling a Bible from the 1600s, I think like 1635. And you and I were both like, yeah, that's a typo or this person is lying or insane. But no, we got an email from a tweet from listener Mike who says, I collect books. It's not uncommon to find books from the 1600s or even earlier for sale. And the pages are usually vellum, sheepskin, and they're often a lot more affordable than you'd expect. Depending on the book and the condition. So that's interesting.
Huh. Yeah. I'm surprised. I would have thought, you know, 1600s. I guess that's after, you know, shortly after America was discovered by Europeans. So, okay. I'm going to take listener Mike at their word.
Sure.
That seems like a long time ago to me, but.
Yeah, well, it definitely is a long time ago, but I guess there's just – I guess I just expect
like I have
to
a copy right here of the Toastmasters and Speakers Handbook by Herbert Prochnow, and this is from, I'm going to say the 1950s. I thought this was probably worth a pretty penny, but I guess I'll have to rethink that.
Yeah
this is from 1955. I thought I was sitting on kind of a gold mine here. Do you want to know some of the fundamentals, though?
Probably, if you don't mind.
Okay, well, I'll tell you about the content, the table of contents. Chapter 1, Responsibilities of the Toastmaster. Chapter 2, Techniques of the Toastmaster. And then number 3, 10 Fundamentals for the Toastmaster. We'll pick up there tomorrow on Chapter 4.
Wow, okay. Oh, I like it. It'll be kind of like my dad wrote a porno, only it'll be like my friend bought a copy of Toastmasters.
You know what they're doing? I know that I completely set you up to be underwhelmed with the Dan Le Batard show, but you know what they were doing yesterday after they were... going through all the times they've had boring guests and they've played. Did you actually end up listening to that?
I listened to some of it, but then I kind of got distracted and it fell into the background of my listening and then I kind of lost track. And it got confusing because I think I was listening to a clip show and I don't know the characters well enough. It reminded me of TBTL and people say, boy, it's really hard to kind of break into the show and figure out who everybody is and what the inside jokes are. And I got to say, I kind of hit that barrier yesterday with that show.
The main guy is Dan Le Batard and then his sidekick is Stu Gatz. And... I jumped into it midway, too, because I think it was a best of. They were playing it on the Bellingham radio station, KPUG, the sports leader.
That's cool.
They play this random mishmash at 5 o'clock of just like whatever they feel like from national sports shows. And I think, I don't know if the Le Batard show is on vacation this week, but it was basically them explaining and then listening to old clips of this totally TBTL inside joke they have called Suey, which is... The backstory on it is they had Luther Campbell from Two Live Crew because the Le Batard show is based out of Florida. I think it's based out of Miami. And that's where Luther Campbell, I think, he's a South Florida dude. And so they used to have him on, like, call in and get his sports takes, which in and of itself is kind of hilarious to me. And so one time they were playing, like, a Kobe Bryant had, like, a rap song out, and Luther Campbell from Two Live Crew was like, this rap song is terrible. This rap song is the worst rap song I've ever heard. It's sewage. It's worse than sewage. It's sewer. And so they had Luther Campbell like basically just saying like sewer or some version of sewage. And then it became a thing where when they had a guest that was being really boring, like on the phone, but they couldn't get out of the interview, somebody, I don't know who was in charge of it, but somebody would just play Luther Campbell going sewer. And the listeners knew that that was like a reference from Dan Le Batard and the other host, that they knew this was terrible, but they couldn't get out of it. And so they're playing all these old clips, which very much like TBTL, they're like, Le Batard's like, okay, what do you got? And the guy's like, I don't know, man. I haven't previewed these. These are just in the record. These are in the system. This is the ultimate warrior. I don't know what he's going to say. Let me just play it. And them playing these old interviews that were bad, and then you hear this Luther Campbell drop. And then sometimes, I don't know what's funnier, when the person wouldn't even notice and they just keep going with their thing, or when they would go, what? And then
Dan Le Batard, nothing, just keep going.
And so these are guests, not callers. So they need to show a certain amount of respect to them, just like you and Jen came up with, like when an interview was going sideways.
Digstown,
right.
Which I don't think we ever used, but we just had it as a plan. For next time a guest was terrible or it was getting really weird, Jen would break in and say, there's a traffic emergency in Digstown, and we got to go to that. That was like we never broke that glass, but we had it. And just, again, describing someone else's radio bit is right there with describing a joke and why it's funny in terms of ineffectiveness. But what really got me was they went from that, which is just totally so up my alley. I'm just LOLing. They're playing Suet in the middle of George the Animal Steel talking. And then they're going off on about how many pro wrestlers they used to have on the show. Like, why did we have so many pro wrestlers on the show? I don't know. Then the next bit was they've been counting down Dan Le Batard's favorite 40 colors, one color a day, for like the last. They're at like number 34, so they've been doing it for a week. their producer like wrote like a terrible song about colors about Dan Le Batard. What color is he gonna pick? And the setup is, okay, we got to do this. Fine. We've been counting down colors every day. Well, except the days we forget. We're at number 34, and then they play the song. And then they're like, what is it? What is it? And then Dan's like, yellow. And then everyone freaks out. Like, they're really mad that yellow is, like, they think yellow should. They're mad at him that red was 37. They feel like red should be way closer to the top.
It does seem that way.
Like, it's just, right? It's an oddly compelling list.
I love it.
Then they go from that to. So then they go from that to like, Le Batard is mad because the producer came in at some point and said, we're really light on sports. Like, we haven't been, it's a sports show, right? Right. We haven't been talking about sports enough. Like, this is during the break. We need to talk about the Toronto Raptors because the Toronto Raptors are really hot right now. So Le Batard's obviously annoyed because the same producer came in and said, we're light on sports. Now it's time to do the color of the day. And he was like, really? Okay. It's got to be one or the other. So what they come up with is he's like, he tells the other guy, he tells Stugatz or somebody. I don't know everybody either. I just know who Le Batard is. He tells one of the other guys, okay, do whatever it was that they were going to do already. Talk about NFL quarterbacks or something. They were going to talk about something non-sports related. He goes, and then Le Batard's like, I'm going to talk about a non-sports thing. And then you just inject things about the Toronto Raptors while I'm doing that. Like, it's like a mashup of concepts.
Yeah.
And it's completely unlistenable and beautiful.
And, give me some.
And then finally.
Go ahead. Sorry.
What's that?
I was just going to ask you a little bit of background because I only know him. I mean, I mostly know of the Dan Le Batard show, the TV product that you tell me about. And yeah. I follow this woman, Mina Kimes, a sports writer who I believe lives here in Seattle, but she's a national figure. And she's on that show all the time. And she's kind of in on a bunch of the inside jokes on the TV show. And so she's tweeting out photos of herself on set. So that's my familiarity. It seems like something I would love, but I haven't fully gotten into. But are you telling me that he does a daily kind of wacky sports show with his dad and these guests like Mina, and he does 4 hours of radio? Because I looked on the podcast, he's already posted 4 hours of content on the radio side today.
I think the anchor of the whole thing is the radio show.
Okay, so it was radio first.
It's been a radio show way longer than it's been a TV show. The TV show often has Bomani Jones on, and I don't know if the TV show is him and Bomani and Dan Le Batard's dad, who I think is originally from Cuba and is really a hilarious element of the show because he's kind of like they'll have him interview like Ray Schremmer.
Oh, really? Like, so again,
yeah, they'll have like Dan Le Batard's dad interview Ray Schremmer.
Just leaving sports aside. Is that daily, though? And you were about to finish the bit. I apologize. I thought you were wrapping up. But is that
show no problem.
Daily?
The radio show is, I believe, daily. The TV show, I think, is also daily. I'm not sure if the TV show is part of it's a repurposing of the radio. Because, you know, they do this now a lot, like Dan Patrick does it, where you've got a sports talk show. They film it. They film you sports talking.
Yeah.
And they also make it a TV show.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's its own thing, because I feel like I've seen stuff where it's like Le Batard and Stugatz are in the studio talking. Mm. But I've also seen Bomani Jones doing a show with him and the dad. I haven't heard the dad on the radio show a ton,
when I've tuned in, and I'm admittedly really a neophyte on this. But whatever's going on, I love it because it's so TBTL, or I should say maybe TBTL is so Lebatard, because they're just constantly not doing what they're supposed to do, and they're just constantly talking about how they're not doing what they're supposed to do. And so the final touch from going from, again, playing Luther Campbell describing that the guest is terrible while the guest is on, but not telling the guest, into the countdown of the colors, into like a mashup of topics so as to be more sports related. And then they're going to talk to the guy who's the lead singer of a band called Avenged Sevenfold about golf. And all Lebatard can do, first of all, he has no idea what the name of the band is. He has no interest in learning about it. And he's so mad because he can't stop talking about how irrelevant heavy metal music is to their listeners. And this is while the guy from Avenged Sevenfold is on hold, ready to come on the show.
He's hearing, have you gotten to the part where they introduce him yet?
Oh, that's when – and then finally Dan's like, well, we can ask him. He's on the line. Hey, he brings the guy on. The guy is so charming. He is a delight. He's like, I'm not going to listen to Avenged Sevenfold. But Dan Lebatard, who clearly has no interest in trying to like pretend he likes that kind of music, talking to the guy from Avenged Sevenfold, who's 100% cool with it and completely and totally like if I was ever going to listen to Avenged Sevenfold, it would be because I heard this interview with the guy. He was like they're like, what is your name? Your name is the guy's name is it's something like Shadow M.
Okay, this
and
is
Dan, Dan Lebatard's
way.
Dan Lebatard's like, come on, what's up with Shadow M? Like, what's he goes, and the guy's, you know, real name is like Andrew Hertzberry or something, the third. And he goes, did you decide that Andrew Hertzberry the third wasn't going to work for your heavy metal band? And the guy's like, yeah, you know what? He goes, I came up with the name Shadow M while I was in high school. Nothing you do in high school you think is going to work out, but this worked out. So now I'm stuck with Shadow M. Like, it was the most self-aware, hilarious, endearing conversation. So anyway, that's why I was like, blowing your phone up about the Dan Lebatard show yesterday. I apologize.
No, it's very compelling. It's funny. This comes at an interesting time for me because I've been.
Are you in the market?
Well, no. I mean, kind of the opposite. I've been trying to get back into listening to more. Like we were talking before about like what podcasts are popular. I'm not trying to stay on top of the charts, but I have been going a little bit. The thing is, I just have talk radio on via our local station all the time, right? Stations now, because there's one show I can't stand, and you know what it is. And so I've started listening, like, for the most part, to our local 710 ESPN station. During a certain day part, I switch over to the other station, and it's just constantly on in the background, including the Cars for Kids commercials that I hear a million times, including the men's balding commercials that I talk to, including the Brock Huard spots that always start with a question, and then I yell at the radio and say, stop starting
Arakaki.
These... including Dr. Eric Hockey, who is now taking literally some of his own medicine, apparently.
Well, he turned the radio dial and then suddenly realized I was the one with low T. Yeah.
Anyway, and I realized that while I like it, we are in a, you know, the Mariners haven't started yet. There aren't a lot of really compelling kind of narratives going on with that team right now, at least that are interesting me. This offseason has been bonkers for the Seahawks, but we're also at the kind of the tail end of that. I guess the draft is coming up. Maybe I'll perk up again for that. But I realized that I had gotten really lazy in my listening just in leaving that stuff on all the time, even though I kind of lost the thread on a lot of the stuff that was happening. It just became noise. And we're living in an age, I don't know if you know this, Luke, but it's almost like a golden age of podcasting. There's so much stuff out there. So I've been going back to my basics a little bit, like listening to some new podcasts, and or not new podcasts, but you know, podcasts that are kind of new to me that people have been suggesting for a long time, and you know, making sure that I listen to The Daily every day because it's really good. By the way, just a really quick shout out, that something that almost everybody already knows, but like I'm obsessed with the Bodega Boys now. I don't know if you, I've been meaning to like listen to their podcast forever. Do you know them, Desus and Nice, or no? What are their names?
Oh, Desus and Mero.
Mero, yeah. They have their TV show now, but it started as a podcast first.
Yeah, I've watched their TV show and I really enjoyed it.
I'm hoping
they have a podcast too.
Yeah, I think they became huge on the podcast, and then Vice gave them a TV show, and I don't have Vice. I might have Vice once we move, because they made me like upgrade my cable for less money. So I'm thinking I might be able to start watching it. But that is as funny as everybody said it was going to be. Anyway, I'm just kind of like, I picked up on the media again, something I let go for a long time. So I'm just kind of moving in that direction and trying to listen with a little bit, I don't know, not being more deliberate. That makes it sound like work, but just kind of get back into some of this other stuff. But now you're going to get me back into kind of sports radio, I guess, is the end of my story.
I kind
of
think, yeah, I mean, maybe that was just the most beautiful moment ever of that show. I actually thought, oh, I got to start like – I like how, by the way, I'm using our airtime to try to tell listeners about something else that's 4 hours a day, like as if we need
yeah, right.
4 hours of competition for this dribble drabble. But, yeah, I was thinking I might start dipping into that show at least a little bit, trying to – kind of make it a regular habit, because every time I listen to it, I always find myself really enjoying it. And I liked the TV show too, when I would catch it, usually like in an airport, you know, bar waiting for my flight. It'd just be on one of the many, many TVs. So
Levitard, you're talking about, because you got obsessed with you're kind of also obsessed with the Levitard TV show though now too, right?
Well, I just honestly, when I've seen it, I've really liked it. It's on at a weird time of the day for me though. What I should really probably do is just DVR it and watch it. But all those sports shows are on. A lot of them are on at like 2 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really a 2 in the afternoon TV watching kind of guy.
Yeah.
Which is why if I'm traveling and I see it and in O'Hare, I will watch it. But I also – it would feel weird to me if I like went and sat in the TV room and watched it at 2. I mean, I guess if I had a TV in here, I could watch it or something. But, yeah, no, what I've seen of it, I really like. I just like the inclusion of his dad. It cracks me
up.
And also there's a – I mean, Levitard, for a guy who's probably our age, if not a little bit older, is weirdly or surprisingly kind of like hip-hop. I wouldn't go so far as to say he's hip-hop literate, only because I don't know what his hip-hop literacy is. But like I said, he's the kind of show where they'll totally have Ray Shremmerd on and then have his dad interview them.
Yeah.
Like he has a – and the fact that he had Luther Campbell on. I know that Two Live Crew and Luke Skywalker is not exactly the cutting edge of hip-hop, but – like, that's not common in sports talk. It's usually a bunch of, like, let's be honest, probably borderline redneck guys, you know, the Colin Cowherds of the world. So just the fact that there's kind of a hip-hop component to it, I like that as well. So whatever.
Yeah, they seem to always be on the right side of, like, whenever I see them popping up on Twitter, Levitard and the gang, they're always on the right side of the social issues that pop up in sports.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. We should get out of here.
You think? How long ago? And, 137. That's not too bad. Of course, that's missing the first 2 or 3 minutes because you need to send me your file.
Ooh, was I supposed to be recording? Oh, you know what I realized about that, Andrew?
What?
Oh, I guess you can probably fudge this, but do we want to? You might have to cut this out, what I'm saying now, because what I realized was I was laughing through parts of that intro and probably making all kinds of noise. Because I just have my mic open.
Oh no!
Recording, so I guess you could replace it, or if you think it's value add, people could hear what it sounds like with me listening to the intro at the beginning.
Maybe I have to. Here's the deal. Let's just get really real here and tell the listeners how this works. Your backup, like I record a full recording on my end, but you record a version on your end that's as a backup.
Oh, I don't even have the intro on my recording.
No, it's just you. It's Luke isolated. So we have one main recording here that I do, and that's a mix of everything that you're hearing right now. But as a backup, Luke records a version of his just what's coming out of his studio, and I have a backup recording of just what comes out of my studio. And so I'm going to have to take that part. Your recording is just you without any music under you or any of the drops that I made. So I'm going to have to take your part and remix it into the music anyway. I got to kind of like...
Right. Okay, that makes sense. Here's some of the isolated recording of me.
Oh, God! Oh, God! I'm running! Oh, yeah!
Oh, you did enjoy the intro.
Yeah.
Run on one more time!
So
oh, that reminds
that's,
me of
that's
somebody.
What you're going to have to cut out.
Okay. What music should we go out with? Now I want to go with Van Halen, but I don't think I actually like any Van Halen songs. Do you?
I had a thought. You've been talking about this Walkman. This Walkman you're getting. Could we go out with a song by The Walkman?
Yes,
who
we
I like?
Certainly can. Yeah. I have a Walkman album. I don't know the songs by name, though. Is there a particular song that you like?
No, you know what? I think I only became aware of them when you played them a couple times, and then the lead singer, whose name is absolutely escaping me at the moment, but whom I'm obsessed with, except for the part about remembering his name. We had him on Livewire. He's great.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I'm really into his solo stuff. I'm not an expert on the Walkmen, but I just say, you know, pick one that looks good. And also, I have Andrewski the Bear as my only show title.
Okay, I wrote down, I need Luke's recording, which doesn't work well for a show title. It's more of a note to myself. And I wrote down A Boy Named Cthulhu.
That's pretty good, too. I'm good with either one, but can the show pick be You on Your Scooter?
Oh, yeah, I don't...
I feel like we lean on that?
Well, there's some photo that a friend took of me and posted online a long time ago, and I know that like people have posted it around as, in a somewhat mocking way, but I don't actually have... I don't think that I have
only
that
because you said as a big bear on your tiny
right.
scooter.
No, that's definitely what I look like, but I only think of... There's only one photo, and now that thing's going to rear its ugly head again, isn't it?
No,
it's fine. It's not that.
Don't rear it, you guys.
The funny thing is,
you
know, that's one of those things that's sent around in kind of a mocking way, but I'm actually not embarrassed about it. I'm always like, huh, I wonder why that's so funny to people. I mean, yes, I do look a little bit too big for a tiny scooter, but trust me, there are way worse photos of me.
No. I think you're misunderstanding what's notable about it. It's not that you're physically too large for it. It's that you have a very determined look on your face. You just look very serious as you're on this scooter, which is a kind of a whimsical conveyance.
That's interesting.
For anybody.
So that's
honestly,
it
it's not like I've seen you on the scooter. I'm not like, that guy's too big for that scooter. It's just that you like are your eyes are forward. You're like just in a very serious pose. I think that's what's notable about it.
I see. Well, I'll tell you what. I am just going to put a picture of a bear on a bicycle as today's
perfect
show picture and label it as me.
All right. All right. Thank you for listening, everybody. We will be right back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio for you, as long as I don't have Tommy John surgery and have to miss the rest of the season. We'll do that, Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise. Until then, enjoy your Thursday, and please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Power out.